Chapter 9, Elijah Confronts King Ahab. This chapter is based on Among the mountains east of Jordan there dwelt a man of faith and prayer whose fearless ministry was to check the rapid spread of apostasy. Occupying no high station in life, Elijah nevertheless entered on his mission confident in God's purpose to give him abundant success. His was the voice of one crying in the wilderness to rebuke sin and press back the tide of evil. And, while he came as a reprover of sin, his message offered balm to sin's sick souls. As Elijah saw Israel going deeper into idolatry, his indignation was aroused. God had done great things for his people that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. But unbelief was fast separating the chosen nation from the source of their strength. Viewing this apostasy from his mountain retreat, in anguish of soul, Elijah besought God to arrest the people in their wicked course, to visit them with judgments if need be, that they might be brought to repentance. Elijah's prayer was answered. The time had come when God must speak by means of judgments. The worshippers of Baal claimed that dew and rain came from the ruling forces of nature, and that through the creative energy of the sun the earth was made to bring forth abundantly. The apostate tribes of Israel were to be shown the folly of trusting to Baal for temporal blessings. Until they should turn to God with repentance, there should fall upon the land neither dew nor rain. To Elijah was entrusted the mission of delivering to Ahab heaven's message of judgment. He did not seek to be the Lord's messenger, the word of the Lord came to him. To obey the divine summons seemed to invite swift destruction at the hand of the wicked king, but the prophet set out at once and traveled night and day until he reached the palace. Clad in the coarse garments usually worn by the prophets, he passed the guards apparently unnoticed and stood for a moment before the astonished king. Elijah made no apology for his abrupt appearance. A greater than the ruler of Israel had commissioned him to speak. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, he declared, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. On his way to Samaria, Elijah had passed by ever-flowing streams and stately forests that seemed beyond the reach of drought. The prophet might have wondered how streams that had never ceased their flow could become dry, or how those hills and valleys could be burned with drought. But he gave no place to doubt. God's word could not fail. Like a thunderbolt from a clear sky, the message of judgment fell on the ears of the wicked king, but before Ahab could recover from his astonishment, Elijah disappeared. And the Lord went before him, making plain the way. Turn the eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. The king made diligent inquiry, but the prophet was not to be found. Queen Jezebel, angered over the message that had locked up the treasures of heaven, lost no time in conferring with the priests of Baal, who united in cursing the prophet and defying Jehovah. Tidings of Elijah's denunciation of the sins of Israel and his prophecy of swift coming punishment quickly spread throughout the land. The fears of some were aroused, but in general the heavenly message was received with scorn and ridicule. The prophet's words went into immediate effect. The earth, unrefreshed by dew or rain, became dry, and vegetation withered. Streams never known to fail began to decrease, and brooks to dry up. Yet people were urged by their leaders to have confidence in Baal and to set aside as idle words the prophecy of Elijah. Fear not the God of Elijah, they urged. It is Baal that brings the harvest and provides for man and beast.